Today's shir is Masechta Yevamos, Daf Lamed Tes, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Ches, Amud Beis, the end of the second line from the bottom, Abaya Omar. Just to review what we had discussed in the previous shir, the Mishnah taught us that according to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, a Shemeres Yavam, a woman who's waiting for Yibum, Mecheres v'nesenes v'kayom, is allowed to have control of her nichsim belug. She's allowed to sell them. In the Sefer, in the next part of the Mishnah, we find a machloikis Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that if the Shemeres Yavam passes away, what is the status of this of these nichsim belug? Beis Shammai says yachloiku, and Beis Hillel says nechosim b'cheskosim. And as the Gemara, right after the Mishnah, indicates, Beis Shammai's position seems to be self-contradictory. First, Beis Shammai is telling us that the Shemeres Yavam, has total control of her properties, and then it seems to be saying Yachloiku, that they are divided. So we learned in the previous year two terutzim to that question. The first test was offered by Ula. Ula said there's a difference if she fell to Yibum after marriage, that she was only an Arusa, that marriage had never come to completion of Nesuin. There, the ratio of the Mishnah tells us, Ula teaches us that the assets are completely hers, whereas her marriage was a fully consummated marriage. They had Nesuin. There, the halacha is, as the Sefer teaches us, that according to Beis Shammai, Yachloiku. That was the first teretz that the Gemara gave. The second teretz was the teretz that Rava gave. Rava differentiated whether the Shemeres Yavam is alive or if she's no longer alive. If she's alive, so she's a vadai, she certainly has ownership in these nechasim, and the Yavam is a Sofik, ain't Sofik moitzim de vadai. That's the ratio. The Sefer, however, is referring to a situation, says Rava, where she passed away, and therefore we're not sure who these properties belong to. Do they belong to her Yorshim, Yorshe Av, or Yorshe Habal, the Yavam, and therefore Yachloiku. Abaya, explains Rav Avraham Nahar, is dissatisfied with both of these terutzim. He's dissatisfied with Ula's teretz, because Abaya does not accept a difference between an Arusa and an Asua. If, says Abaya, the halacha is that a woman who is mureses requires Yibum, then we can't make differentiation between if a marriage was a marriage of Erisin or a marriage of Nesuin. Abaya is dissatisfied with Rava's teretz, because as we just explained, according to Rava, when she is alive, Beis Shammai holds she has total control of the assets. Her Yorshim come in her place. So there should be no difference, says Abaya, according to Rav Ram and Ahar, whether it's she who's challenging the Yavam, or it's her Yorshim. And therefore Abaya cannot accept the difference that Rava articulates, difference whether she's alive or she's not alive. Therefore, Abaya says another explanation. Reisha, the Reisha is referring to a situation, the Naflala Kisha Shemeres Yavam, that these properties fell to this woman while she was waiting for Yibam. Sefer, the Sefer is referring to a situation, the Naflala Kisha Tachtav, the Baal, that these properties fell to her while she was still married to the husband. V'kesavra Abaya, and Abaya holds, Yodoi ki Yodo. Rashi teaches us that there's a Gemara in Masechta Ksubis, actually a Machlaikis of Abaya and Rava. How does the Halacha view the relationship between the husband and the wife regarding ownership of the Nechsimuluk? Abaya holds, Yodai ki Yodai, the husband and wife are considered equals. The wife owning the actual nechse melug, the husband owning the peiros. When the husband dies, everything goes down one notch. Therefore, if she's a shemeres yavam, if yadai ki yada, they were till now equal, so now she's a shemeres yavam, she becomes stronger, and therefore they, all the properties are considered in her control. And that's why in the Reisha, the Shemeres Yavam, Mecheres V'Nesenes V'Kayam. The Sefer, however, of the Mishnah, according to Abaye, is referring to a case where they're married. Since they're married, Yodoi Ki Yoda, they're equals, and therefore, Yachloiku, the assets are divided if she should pass away from a marriage. Amalei Rava. So Rava disagrees. And as the Rishonim point out, this disagreement that Rav is now going to say is consistent with his position in Masechta Ksuvos. Because either Nafla Kishitachta of the Baal, properties that fall to her while she's still married, the Kule Amaloi Pligidi Yodai Adifa Miyoda, his position is stronger than hers. And therefore, if a wife dies, according to Rava, the assets go to the husband. El Idi, both the Reisha and the Sefer are referring to situations the Nafnalaki Shemeres Yavam, that she is a Shemeres Yavam. However, the difference between the Reisha, where in the Reisha the halacha is that she has total control of these properties, whereas in the Sefer, Beis Shammai tells us the halacha is Yechloiku, that she be divided, because Reisha the Le'ovah B'mamar, and the Reisha Maimer was not done, so the Zika, the bond between the Yavam and Yavama is a weaker one, and therefore she has total control of the properties. Sefer, however, the Sefer refers to situation Dov Mamer, where Mamer was done, which strengthens the bond between the Yavam and Yavama, and that's why Yechloikum. The Kasava Rava, because Rava holds, Mamer le Beshamai, when a Yavam does Mamer to a Yavama, Oysa Vade Arusa, she's considered halachically certainly like an Arusa, and the Gemara will explain in a moment what that means. And as far as ownership of property, she's considered a Suffolk Nesua. We don't give her the full status of a Nesua. She's considered like a Suffolk Nesua. Vade Arusa, what does it mean when we say that she's considered like an Arusa? Litchais Petzora, she can she can accomplish that her tzara will not be required to have any yibum or chalitza. As Rashi explains, the case is referring here to there were three brothers. Two brothers were married to two sisters. Reuven and Shimon were married to Rachel and Leah, and Levi was not married to a relative. Reuven dies, and his widow Rachel falls to Levi. She can't fall to Shimon. It's an Achais Ishtai. Levi at that point does Maimer in Rachel, Reuven's widow. And then, before he could complete this, we're doing Yibum, Shimon dies. Shimon's widow, Leah, is a sister of Rachel. Tells us, Beis Shammai, the power of Maimer is that double power. Number one, Rachel will not be considered to Levi an achoisu kakasai, a sister of someone that he has zika to, Leah. Rather, Levi can complete the yivam process with Rachel. And furthermore, given that we consider Rachel Levi's wife, Leah will totally be disqualified, will be totally be exempt from Yibam Chalitza, because she's considered an Achais Ishtai. That's Rashi's pshat in Litchais Petzara. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, because Tosfos says this is not the normal definition of Tzara. Sarah, we always know, means two wives that are rivals to each other. They're both married to the same husband. Here, these are two sisters that are not married to the same man. Therefore, Taisha says the case that's being referred to is a simpler case. We have two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven was married to two women, not related to each other, Rachel and Chana. Reuven passes away, and Shimon does maimer in one of these wives. The halacha, says Taisus, according to Beis Shammai, tells us that Shimon is considered as if he did maimer, as if he did yibum in that wife, and he cannot do any yibum in the other wife, because of the halacha of kivan shabana bayis echad shuv lo yivna. If he did yibum with one wife, the other wife becomes disqualified for yibum. There's a very deep Birka Shmuel that explains that the machloikus of Rashi and Tosfos evolves around what do we consider maimer being, according to Beis Shammai. According to Rashi, maimer is the beginning of yibum. According to Tosfos, maimer is a form of kedushin. The Sofik Nesuah, but maimer, according to this pshat, only accomplishes that she's not considered a full-fledged Nesuah. Were she considered a full-fledged Nesuah, her husband would inherit these properties. The Yavam would inherit these properties. It's only a Sofik Nesuah, and that's why the Yavam doesn't inherit them. He's Lachlik bin Chasim. He divides them between himself and the woman's Yarshim. Says the Gemara, Ikme Mishmei de Rabbi Loza Kavasei de Rava. We learned in the name of Rabbi Loza, like Rava's explanation. Vikme Mishmei de Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Kavasei de Baya. And we learned that Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina agrees with Abaya's explanation. Ask the Gemara, Omi Amar Rabbi Loza Hachi. Did Rabbi Loza indeed explain? Like Rava, from Rabbi Lazar, Maimel Beis Shammai, Maimer accomplishes according to Beis Shammai, Eina Koina, Maimel Beis Shammai, Koina El Litchus B'Tzara, that it has the ability to be Doicha, the Tzara, it's Bovad, that's all the Maimer accomplishes. But the way we're learning now, Maimer has a lot more power according to Rabbi Lazar, and makes a Sofik Nesuah. Rabbi Lazar doesn't say anything about making Maimer accomplishing something regarding Hilchus Yerusha. Says the Gemara, Epoch. We should reverse and say that Rabbi Lazar explains like Abaya, and Rabbi Yosef Chanina explains like Rava. Vibay Seima, another way of saying, Loilam Loit Epoch. There is no reason to reverse the positions of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yosef Chanina. Amalach Rabbi Lazar. And Rabbi Lazar will say, Ki Amrena, what I meant to say, the power of Maimer, the Lesagi beget, that if one did Maimer, even though we're saying the Maimer, according to Beis Shammai, is extremely powerful, it's Doiche the Tzara, but the Lesagi beget, if there was only Maimer and no Yibum, get alone would not be sufficient to terminate the relationship between the Yavam and the Yavama. El Deboi Nami Chalitza. Since this relationship was not brought up to the status of a full yibum, chalitza still required. However, lachlak bin chasim deleikani, to discuss about what is the yavam's rights, how far do his rights go in the assets and the properties of the yavam if she should die, mik amri, I didn't refer to that, and therefore it can be successfully argued that he will agree that as far as Nechasim, she's considered a Sofik Nesuah, and the Yarsha Av and the Yarsha Baal divide those properties. Omra Papa. So Papa makes the following comment. The Yukad Masnisim, if we learn the Mishnah carefully, Kavosei Dabaya, it indicates that the right explanation of the three explanations we've given in explaining the Mishnah, the correct explanation is Abaye's explanation. Afagav, even though, says Rapapa, the Kasha Mesa, there will be a difficulty following Abaye's Pshat. And the Gemara explains itself. Why does our Mishnah seem to indicate that Abaye's Pshat is the correct Pshat? The Tani, the Braisa, the Mishnah, in talking about the Nichsim Malug, doesn't call them nechsim elug, rather call them nechosim ha-nechnosim v'yoytzim ima, properties that come and leave with her. What does that mean? My nechnosim, what does it mean they enter with her? My yoytzim, what does it mean they leave? Loi, nechnosim l'shus habal, it refers to a situation that they came into the domain of the husband when they get married. For yoytzim, m'shus habal l'shus ha'av, and they leave that domain when the woman dies. So we see that the Mishnah is discussing properties that entered the domain of the woman while she was married, and now she dies. Very clear indication of bias pshat in the Mishnah that the Seif was referring to properties that she had while she was married. But, says the Gemara, Vavagav the Kasha Mesa, following a bias pshat does leave us with a Kasha. Because if according to Baya, the point is, Yodoy ki Yodoy, their husband and wife, while they're married, are equals. So why, and therefore there's a question, who owns the Paris? Ad the Miflgi Begufalach Misa, why do we have to only argue what is the status of this property after this woman dies? Liflgi Bechayela Paris, let they argue while she's alive and who's the owner of produce. Because according to Abaye, the Machloikis is who is the stronger control? Or actually Abaye says that they're equals. So if they're equals, they should divide even while she's alive. Why did the Mishnah specifically discuss the case that she died? Vesulamidi, and there's nothing more to say. And like the Rishonim explained, even though we have a question, Rapapa says, we have a question on Abaye's Pshat, we follow Abaye's interpretation still argues Rapapa is the correct interpretation of the Mishnah. There's a Machloikis Rishonim. If this question, that why is the Machloikis in the Mishnah only expressed after the woman died, why don't we speak about the case where the woman is even alive, would this question be on Rava also? Tosfos says that in Rava this would not be a Kasha, because only after she dies does Rava hold the Maimer makes a difference. That given the fact that she had a Zika plus a Maimer, that's when Rava says there is a difference between the Reisha and the Sefer. The Reisha, there was no Maimer, and the Sefer, there was Maimer. That's when we have a difference in the Reisha, she's in control of the property, and the Sefer, she's not in control of the property. But while she's alive, says Tosfos, even though there was a Maimer, she still is control of the property, and that's why the Sefer had to specifically discuss the case that she passed away. The Ramban, the Rashba disagree. The Ramban say that since the point of the Sefer is that there was a Maimer, and that strengthens the bond between the Yavam and the Yavama, it therefore makes no difference, says the Ramban and Rashba. Once there was Maimer, there's a connection between the Yavam and the Yavama that they should have to do Yachloiku. And therefore the question that the Gemara asks in Abaya, why does the Mishnah speak about a case that she died? Couldn't we have the same question if she's alive? And what is the status of the Paris? It's a question that not only should be asked, that could and should be asked to Abaya, but it's a question that could be asked to Rava also. The Mishnah said, Kansai, once the Yavam marries the Yavama, Hareki Ishtal Chaldav, she considered full-fledged wife. Ask the Gemara Lamai Halkosah, regarding what halacha does the Mishnah mean to say this? Amr Rabbi Yosef Chanina, Loimer comes to teach us Shmegar Shmeget, that they get divorced, that if after Yibum was done, the husband wants to terminate the marriage, the marriage is terminated in the standard way of marriages being terminated, with a get, or Machzira. And there's another halacha, the halacha is, that if a couple get divorced, as long as the wife doesn't marry anyone else in between, the husband could take her back. Here too, the Yavam could take her back. Ask the Gemara, Megash Beget, Pshita. Of course he could divorce her. Why would I think that there's any other way of terminating the marriage? Answers the Gemara, Salkadai Techamina, Hoyal Vaksiv, Velokla Leisha Vyibma, Amar Rachmana. The Torah called this marriage a marriage of Yibam, Amar Rachmana. Vadain Yabima Harishonim Aleha, that they still, the original Yibam always remains, and bechalitz in beget loy, the way that the marriage between the yavam and yavama is terminated is with chalitza. Kamash Malan, the Mishnah therefore teaches us the way the marriage is terminated is the way all marriages are terminated with a get. The Ritva explains that the Gemara never had a havamina that chalitza alone should terminate the marriage of the Yavam and the Yavama. What the Gemara meant to say was that there should be a combination both of chalitza and get. The Gemara also said, Rabbi Yossi Chanina said, Machzira, that if the Yavam divorces the Yavama, if she doesn't marry anyone else in between, he could take her back. Ask her Pshita, she's his wife, and there's Alacha of Machzir Grushasai. Salkadat the Chamina answers the Gemara. Mitzvah the Rami Rachman Allah Avda. The person did his mitzvah by taking her as a Yavama. Hashta, now once he divorces her, take him Allah B'issa Eishas Ach, she should revert back to the status of an Eishas Ach, Kamash Malan, that doesn't happen. And as Toysus on Daf Ches explains the Gemara could have asked, says Toysus, that why should a Yavam allowed to make a second bia in his yavama? The first bia is a mitzvah, but the second bia is not a mitzvah. Why did the Torah allow the second bia? So Taisus says, on Daf Ches, because it's difficult to say that the Torah set up a situation where the yavam could only have one bia and then immediately have to divorce her. The Torah wouldn't have created a mitzvah in such a fashion. Here, however, explained the Mefarshim based on that Taisvus, they're getting divorced. Nobody forced them to get divorced. Once they get divorced, perhaps her original status of Eishes Ach reverts. Kamash Malan, that once she became married to this man, the status of Eishes Ach never comes back. Ask the Gemara Ve'em Echanami, and perhaps indeed it does come back. Omakra v'lochala li'isha. Torah calls of Halachla Isha, Kivin Shalacha, once the Yavam takes the Yavama, Harei Ki Ishtal Chaldava, all the Halachas of a husband and a wife apply. The Mishnah concluded with telling us, Ovach Tei Ksubasoi An Nichsei Baala Harishin. The Ksuba, that a husband is obligated to give a wife if he divorces her, or if he predeceases her, is on the estate of the first husband. My Tama. Why is it on the state of the first husband, not on the state of the second husband? Says the Gemara, Isha Hikna Lomina Shemayim. When is there a halacha that a husband has to give a wife a ksuba? That's when a husband chose to take this woman in marriage. So there Chazal established, instituted, that a ksuba must be given. This Yavam didn't choose his Yavam as a wife. It's Isha Hikna Lomina Shemayim. And therefore, he does not have the regular dinim of giving a ksuba. However, says the Gemara, v'les lamin arishin, if the first husband, when he died, left no assets from where a woman can have a ksuba, tekina lemesheni, then the second husband, the yavam, does have to write her a ksuba, kadesh leite kalab enav leitziyai. The whole purpose of a ksuba, explained the Rishonim, is that it should be difficult, it should not be quick for a husband to divorce a wife. If a husband could divorce a wife quickly, that may lead to many divorces that are not really necessary. But if the husband realizes that before he divorces, he's going to have to give a ksuba, that will make him think twice before he gives a divorce. We want that to happen between the yavam and yavama too. And therefore, if the first husband didn't leave any assets, the second husband has to write a ksuba. So Tosfos is obviously bothered. So what's the point when the Mishnah says Isha Hikna Lamina Shemayim, that she has an obligation from the first husband for the ksuba? It won't make any practical difference. If there's assets, so go from the first husband. And if there are no assets, so what is the point? Says, and Taisus is very bothered and really doesn't have a good answer to this question. I saw two answers. One answer I saw is that if she, the halacha is that the ksuba of a psula is 100 mana. 100 mana. The ksuba of a bu'ula is masayim mana. It's 200 mana. What the Gemara means to say is like this. If she married the first husband as a psula, and now the second husband takes over that ksuba, her ksuba remains masayim mana. because it's the original ksuba, which was 200 mana. If, however, the ksuba is the ksuba of the second husband, that he's writing to her, when she's marrying him, she's already bula. Obviously, she's a yavama, and therefore the ksuba will only be meya mana. Another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, is that the Gemara is suggesting, the Gemara and the Havamina thought that maybe this woman should be entitled to two ksubas, because she really had two husbands, the first husband and the Yavam, the second husband. Tells us the Gemara that she's only entitled to one ksuba. If there's money from the first husband, so then she's entitled to ksuba from the first husband. If there is no money from the first husband, then she's only entitled to ksuba from the second husband, but she doesn't get two ksubas. Teaches us the Mishnah. Mitzvah begodl liyabim. As we learned, the Torah uses the words v'haya b'char in introducing the parish of Yibam. So we learn that the mitzvah is that for the oldest brother to do Yibam. As the Birchas Peretz from the Stipler says, the gematria of v'haya b'char is the same as mitzvah begodl ha'achin, that the oldest brother does Yibam. Machloikis, Rashi and Rambam, if the oldest brother declines to do the mitzvah, is there a mitzvah for the next brother, for brother number two, before brother number three? That's how Rashi learns, that there's a preference. The older the brother, there's a preference. The Rambam learns there's a specific preference to the oldest brother. If the oldest brother doesn't do the mitzvah, all the other brothers are equal. There's also an interesting question that the Cheshik Shloima discusses. The Cheshik Shloima discusses what will be the halacha if the two oldest brothers are twins, and we don't know which is the older of the two, which is the older of the twins. What is the halacha? Says the Cheshik Shloima, and they both want to do the mitzvah. Says the Cheshik Shloima, under those circumstances, we make a goyro, we do a lottery to determine which brother should do the mitzvah. So says the Mishnah again, mitzvah begod liyabim, the mitzvah is for the oldest brother to do yibam, loy ratza, if the older brother doesn't want to do the mitzvah, mahalchin eitzel kola achin, we go to the other brothers, loy ratzu, if they are unwilling to do the mitzvah, chayzim eitzel gol, we go back to the oldest brother, varmaloy, and we tell him, alecha mitzvah, you have the obligation, oy chaloitz oyavim, either do chalitza or yibam. If the older brother said, there's a brother who's a cotton, he's a minor. And as Rishonim explained, Rameya teaches us in Daf Samach Aleph that a cotton doesn't do Yibam, for there's a concern that he may be a soros, he may be sterile, and as we learned, someone who's sterile cannot do the mitzvah of Yibam. So the Gadol says, let's wait till this cotton will become a Gadol, and then he'll be able to do the mitzvah of Yibam. Or the Gadol, or the older brother is not here, so the younger brother say, let's wait for the older brother to come back at Shiyava Medina Sayam. A Cheresh Shaita, one of the brothers of Cheresh Shaita, and as a Machlokes Rishonim, how do we understand this? The Rambam explains what he means to say is, let's wait for this Cheresh, or the Shaita, to recuperate, and then he'll do the mitzvah Yibam. Or let's use the Cheresh Shaita, Tosfos explains, to be the brother to do Yibam. Ain Shamloy, we do not listen to this brother. El Aimloy, we tell the brother who's here, Alecha mitzvah, oy chalitz oyabim, eidu chalitz oyibim. Itmar, so we learned. Be as cotton, if there's an option. The cotton is prepared, the younger brother, and as Rashi tells us, here cotton does not mean a minor. A minor is not qualified to do bia. Mia, cotton here means a younger brother. Be as cotton, the chalitz is cotton. The Gadol is willing to do Chalitza, the eldest brother, but he's not willing to do Yibam. And the younger brother is willing to do Yibam. What is preferable? Says the Gemara, Pliga by Rabbi Yochanan Rishu ben Levi. It's Machlaikas Rabbi Yochanan Rishu ben Levi. Charam Abiyas Katna Difa. One man Dhamma says that the Yibam of a younger brother is preferable. The Charam Achalitza's Gadol Adifa. And the other man Dhamma says that the Chalitza of the older brother is preferable. Explains the Gemara. Mandam be is kotna difa. The mandam that says that the yibum of the younger brother is preferable. The hamitzvah be yibum. The Torah wants yibum. Lahakim shame lachiv. That the brother should have a shem, which is accomplished through bia. The man dama says that better to have chalitza from the godel. But makam godel be is cotton laf klumel. In a place where there's a godel, that he is the preferable candidate, even if he's only going to do chalitza. So there's an interesting machloikis, Bach and Beis Shmuel, regarding this situation. According to the man d'Amr that says, B.S. Kotn Adifa, because we accomplished the mitzvah Yibam. What does that mean? The Bach says that it doesn't mean that if the Godel refuses to do Yibam, he only agrees to do Chalitza. We start asking the younger brothers, perhaps you'll do Yibam. There is no such obligation. Rather, says the Bach, what the Gemara means to be speaking to a case where the younger brother came forth and volunteered and said that he's prepared to do Yibam. But if the Godel says he'll do Chalitza, and we don't know what the Kotten's position is, we accept the Chalitza of the Godel, and we don't have to do any more. The Beis Shmuel disagrees with the Bach, and the Beis Shmuel says that if the Godel only agrees to do Chalitza, and doesn't agree to do Yibam, there's according to the man, the Omer, that holds Bias Kotten Adifa, that the Bia of the younger brother is preferable, we actively go and ask the younger brothers, perhaps you're prepared to do Yibam, because Bias Kotten Adifa. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Leirotza, if the oldest brother wasn't willing to do something, and we'll see what Leirotza means, Machzir Makola Achim, we go to ask the other brothers. My laugh, Leirotz Leyavim, that the older brother wasn't willing to do Yibum, Ella Lachloitz, he was only willing to do Chalitza. And what does our Mishnah say? The Ketani Mahalkam Eitzalachim. We go to the younger brothers. So we see that the Bia of the younger brothers is preferable. Shmamino Bia is Kot Nadifa. Says Gemara Loi. What it means to say is, Leirotza, that the oldest brother was refusing to do anything. Leirotza Lachloitz Leyavim. He didn't want to do neither Chalitza nor Yibum. That's when we go to the younger brothers. Says the Gemara, that's the way we're explaining the Mishnah. The Kavasar Gaba Achim, let's continue explaining the Mishnah. Loirotsu, that the other brothers, the younger brothers, didn't want. What does it mean that they didn't want? Loilachlitz Loilayabim. They also refused to do both Chalitzu or Yibam. So the question is, why, if we're going to force somebody to do Chalitzu, why do we go back to the oldest brother to do the chalitza, lichve the day, we're going to compel somebody to do chalitza, or maybe they'll change their mind and even agree to do yibam. Lichve the do, why don't we force the younger brother? And as Rashi, based on the Rishash, explains, if we're going to have yibam done, so we can understand why we want to try to get a yibam, which as we're saying is a bigger mitzvah. But here we're going to end up with having chalitza. And we're already speaking to the youngest brother anyway. So we're speaking to the youngest brother. Why should we doesn't have to go back to the oldest brother to do chalitza? Chalitza of the oldest brother and chalitza of the youngest brother is all the same. Answered the Gemara, no. Kiven the mitzvah later day Ramya. Since as we learned in the Mishnah, the primary mitzvah is on the godel. Even though only chalitza is going to be done, l'didei kafinin, we prefer the chalitza of the older brother versus the chalitza of the younger brother. So if the younger brother refuses, we go to do chalitza yibam, we go back to the older brother. There's a very interesting Rabbi Kivega based on this Gemara. Rabbi Kivega discusses a situation if someone is a katan and his parent or brother, sister pass away. So since when the shiva began, he was exempt from shiva, he was a katan. Even if during the shiva, Rachman al-Tzlan, he becomes a bar mitzvah, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, Kima Shenitcha, once he was exempt, he remains exempt from the shiva, and in the middle of the shiva, he would not have to sit down for shiva when he becomes a katan. Ask Rabbi Kiva Eger, so why about an hour Gemara? If we're learning mitzvah begodl, that the mitzvah of Yibam is on the godl, why isn't the halacha that since the mitzvah is on him, the younger brothers become disqualified, and therefore even if he afterwards refuses to do Yibam Chalitza, their disqualification should remain? Answers of Kivega that the two situations are not the same. When we say mitzvah begod liyabim, it doesn't mean to exempt the younger brothers. Mitzvah begod liyabim means that the preferable mitzvah is with him, but not in any way to exempt the younger brothers, and therefore they're not considered netcha. So now the Gemara asks a question on the first position that says that bi is cotton, that the bi of the younger brother adifa. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, tal b'cotton ashiyagdol. He says, let's wait until the cotton becomes a gadol ein shamilai. Ask the Gemara, if bi is cotton adifa, if the bi of a cotton is preferable, amay ein shamilai, why don't we take a wait? Ninter, dim a gadol miyabim. Let's wait till this gadol maybe becomes a, this cotton becomes a gadol, and it'll do the preferable mitzvah of yibam. Ask the Gemara l'tameich. Let's follow your line of reasoning. Or the gadol, it says by the gadol we wait, achi yavo yamedinas hayom, if they say that the gadol is yamedinas hayom, let's wait till he comes back, ain't shaymeloi. So the question is again, why not? Amai, ninter, why don't we wait till ma'asiv v'cholitz? Maybe he'll come and do chalitza, and if we learn that the chalitza of the gadol is preferable, shouldn't we wait for it? Just what's the reason we don't wait? Because there's a concept, a kol shiur mitzvah l'mishinin. We don't delay doing a mitzvah. Similarly, yes, the bee of the cotton is better, but we don't want to wait till he becomes a gadol because we don't delay the mitzvah of yibam. So the Magen Avraham extrapolates from this Gemara a very important concept that from here we see, says the Magen Avraham, that we never delay doing a mitzvah. And says the Magen Avraham, therefore, that if one has the opportunity to do the Kiddush Levana, even though it's not Matzah Shabbos, as soon as the person has the opportunity to do Kiddush Levana, he should do it. Shui mitzvah le'mishinan. Most Poskim in the Kaf HaChaim agrees with the Magen Avraham. He only says that one should try to at least get a minion or three people, because Roiv Am Hadras Melech. The Meretz Chayis, however, says that our Gemara is referring strictly to Yibam. And in fact, the wording of our Gemara so indicates, kol shiur mitzvah, by Yibam we don't allow any delay. And the reason we don't allow any delay, says the Nemuka Yosef, is because a woman, until she has Yibam, kenat or chalitza, is left as an aguna, she left unmarried, and therefore we are particularly concerned not to delay it. This question, as we said, has ramifications in many areas of halacha. Do we or don't we delay doing of a mitzvah? Based on this Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, says that even though halacha is that the talis is put on before the tefillin, let's say one in the morning only has tefillin available and not talis, shui mitzvah le'mishinan, put on the tefillin, don't wait until you have a talis. Similarly, the Mishnah Berurah says that even though we have a rule in all mitzvahs, tada v'she'ena tada, tada kaidem, that's only when both mitzvahs are available for us to do. There we perform the mitzvah of tada first. However, if the mitzvah of tada is not available, shuri mitzvah loy m'she'ena. However, this halacha is not so absolute. The Paiskim discuss a number of situations. One situation is that it's sukkahs, and someone has dalaminim, but they're not such nice dalaminim. And he could wait an hour or two and he'll get nice dalaminim. Is he allowed to wait? It's Chanukah, and a person has only candles, but if he'll wait, he could get oil, and lighting with oil is preferable. Many Paiskim say, the Shvash Yaakov, and many other Paiskim say that the halacha is that we allow the person to wait to get the nice dalaminim, to get the oil. So what is the guideline that we do allow waiting and we don't allow waiting? So first of all, we explain that Yibam is different. By Yibam, we don't allow waiting. But there's a deeper concept Mefarshim explain. Mefarshim explain based on the Trumas Hadeshin. Even though the Magen Avraham says, as we said earlier, that Kiddush Levana should be done immediately, the Trumas Hadeshin says that we wait till Matzah Shabbos. Since Matzah Shabbos we're Mevusim, we're wearing nice clothing, as long as Matzah Shabbos is no later than 10 days in the month. What do we see from the Trumas Hadeshin? If it's not unexpected that the person should be able to mekayim the mitzvah, then we allow the mitzvah to be done even if it involves delaying doing the mitzvah. And therefore, whenever it's legitimate to assume that the person will be able to be mekayim the mitzvah, some of a delay is permissible. And that's why there's a psak from the Chazon Ish. Rav Moshe Sternberg quotes the Chazon Ish in the Shas of Tshuvas and Ahagas. If someone has to make a bris milah, shouldn't we apply the concept of Zriza Magdivim LaMitzvahs and have the bris milah be done right away by the Netzach Chama? Says the Chazon Ish, since there's a concept of Barai V'Aham Hadris Melech, a bris milah does not have to be done by the Netz, as long as it's acceptable that it will be done during the 8th day, obviously as early as possible, we could delay it and not have to do it in the first moment of the day. There's an interesting tshuva from the Satmar Rebbe in the Shas Tshuvas Divrei Yoel. He says that there was a person who had a certain amount of money available and said that he wants to put away that money, that when he'll pass away, that money should be used to bury him in Eretz Yisrael. And without going into the Shaila, if there is a specific inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, there the Satmar Rebbe says that the money should better be spent on tzedakah. Since hopefully the person is not going to die soon, we hope that everybody will live a healthy, healthy long life. So it's a concept of shui mitzvah, of delaying a mitzvah, and we don't delay a mitzvah. There's an interesting question that the Pesach Tshuva discusses, quotes a base Shas Tshuvas Beis Yaakov. Here we're saying that there's a mitzvah with Gadol. The preferable mitzvah is with the older brother to do the mitzvah. Discusses the Pesach Tshuva, what happens that the older brother is not here? So as our Mishnah and Gemara just taught us, the younger brother begins to do, let's say, Chalitza. And while he's about in the middle of doing Chalitza, the older brother arrives. What is the halacha? Do we allow the younger brother to complete the mitzvah? Or do we say, since mitzvah begodli yabim, we ask the other brother to take over? Pesach Tshuva brings down a machloikis Shvus Yaakov and Beis Yaakov regarding the shayla. Another point that the Binas Adam makes based on our Gemara, that even though our Gemara says mitzvah begodli yabim, the mitzvah is for the oldest brother to do the yibim, our Gemara clearly indicates that the younger brother may do the mitzvah. Says the Binas Adam that the halacha is that, let's say, someone does shchita of a oif or a chaya, that there's halacha that kisui adam is required to be done. The shaychit does not has the right to ask someone else to do the kisui adam, even though the mitzvah really belongs to him. Similarly, if one is a moil, he could allow someone else to do the milah on his child, even though there's a preferable mitzvah that he should do the milah, mitzvah by Yosef b'shluchai. As we see in our Gemara, that even though there's a mitzvah with the oldest brother to do Yibim Chalitza, a younger brother may be allowed to do the mitzvah also. Ista Amri, another version of this question that we're discussing. Bebias kulam leplegi. The Yibim is the preferable mitzvah. The B is cotton adifa. If one brother is willing to do yibam, that's preferable. Keep ligi b'chalitza's cotton. The shaila is there a preference in the chalitza of the older brother over the younger brother? V'achyitman, this is the way to understand the machlaikis. Chalitza's cotton v'chalitza's gadol. Chalitza of a younger brother or chalitza of an older brother. Pligi by Rabbi Yochanan Shu Melevi. Charama chalitza's gadol adifa. One says the chalitza of the older brother is preferable. V'charama kedadanina. Since it's all chalitza, it really doesn't make that much of a difference which brother does the chalitza. Mandam chalitza's gadol adifa. The mandam says that the chalitza of the older brother is preferable. The mitzvah begadol. As we learned in our Mishnah, mitzvah begadol achim. Vidach. And the other mandam will say, Ki amrina mitzvah begadol. When do we say there's a mitzvah in the gadol? L'inyan yibam, regarding yibam. Avel inyan chalitza, but regarding chalitza, kadadin and all the brothers are equal. Tanan, ask the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, loy ratzu, if the younger brother wasn't willing, chayz mitzvah gadol. We go to the other brother. My love doesn't mean, loy ratzu l'yabim, he wasn't willing to do yibim, and he was only willing to do chalitza. And yet, k'tani chayz mitzvah gadol. So we see that the gadol's chalitza is preferable. Shema mino chalitza's gadol adifa. Loy. What it means is, loyrotzo, lachloitz v'loy liyabim. That the younger brother refused to do both chalitza and yibim. That's why we go back to the older brother. But if he's willing to do chalitza, all chalitzas are the same. Ask the Gemara, the kavasot gabal gadol. Let's analyze. It says by the gadol loyrotzo, and we'll say, Loi lachlitz loi liyabim. He was unwilling, he means that he doesn't want to do neither chalitz or yibim. So, my chayz mitzah gadol. Why do we go back to the older brother? Lemichvi, to force him to do Yibum Chalitza. Lemichvi let it do. Why can't we, for the same, according to the first version, that all the brothers are the same, why should the Bezdin trouble itself to go back to the first brother? All the brothers are the same, we could ask the younger brother to do it. Says the Gemara, no. Kivin the mitzvah of the day, Rami, since the prefer mitzvah is with the oldest brother, we force the other oldest brother to do chalitza. Toshma. Toba galash yavim medina sayam. The younger brother said, let's wait till the older brother comes back from overseas. Ain't shemeloi. We don't listen to him. Ask the Gemara, v'sakadayta chalitza's gol adifa. If the oldest brother's chalitza is preferable, amay ain't shemeloi. Why don't we wait for older brother? Let's wait. Maybe he'll come and do chalitza, which is the preferable mitzvah that the older brother should do the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, tameich. Let's ask according to you. We said the katan at shiyagdal. By katan we wait until he becomes a gadol. The question is ain shemeloi. Amai. Why don't we wait till he becomes a gadol? Let's wait until this cut, until this minor becomes a gadol and do yibum, which according to this version of the Gemara, everyone agrees yibum is the preferable mitzvah. Inami asiyu miyabma. In the case when the older brother is overseas, maybe he'll come and do yibum and we'll have a perfect mitzvah. It'll be yibum of the oldest brother. Ella, we can't ask this question. Of course, we just explained kol shu mitzvah shenin, and we never delay the mitzvah of yibum. Tanan Hossam. We learned in the Mishnah Masechta Bechayrus. Mitzvah Yibim Kaidem Demis L'Mitzvah Chalitza. Mitzvah Yibim is preferable over Mitzvah Chalitza. Says the Gemara, HaBrishayna, that was only at the beginning. Shemeskavn L'Shem Mitzvah. Achshav, however, now, Shemeskavn L'Shem Mitzvah, people don't have Mitzvah in mind. Mitzvah Chalitza Kaidem L'Mitzvah Yibim. The Mitzvah Chalitza is preferable over the Mitzvah Yibim. Amar Rav, on this Rav says, Ein Kaifim. Even though chalitza is preferable to yibum, we do not force them into chalitza. This is the way Rashi explains. Rather, if they choose to do yibum, we allow them to perform yibum. That's how Rashi explains. Tosfos explains that's going back on the Brishoina. Brishoina, where mitzvah yibum was preferable, we don't force a person to do yibum. If they want to do chalitza, they may. But now, says Tosfos, and that's the way the Ramah paskins, we force them to do chalitza, because we're going to hold like Abba Shol that says yibum should not be performed nowadays. Ask the Mefarshim, ask the Taisus Rid. If the Torah gave a person, according to Taisus, that means Ein Kaifim, we don't force him to do yibum. Of course we don't force him to do yibum. The Torah gave us an option to do chalitza. Why should we force him to do yibum? Says the Taisus Rid, what the Gemara means, what Ein Kaifim means, we don't even try to influence him to do yibum. If he wants to do chalitza, he may. The Rav Mar says when they used to come to Rav, he said, Iboy Chalitz, he would tell him, you want to do Chalitz, you can do Chalitza. Iboy Siyavim, if you want to do Yivim, you may do Yivim. But the Doch Tala Rachmana, it's up to you. Vim lo yachvitz ish, the Torah says if the person doesn't want, ha chafitz, that if he does wish, Iboy Chalitz, Iboy Yavim. He chooses to do whatever he wants. He has the right to do whatever he wants. Rafi Behuda Sover, Ein Kaifim. We don't force them to do chalitza. Mid asking Rabbi Yehuda begita the chalitza. There was a special document written after chalitza. And the document would say, Ech plonis bas ploni. This woman, akvas yas ploni yivam akama kadon lebedina, brought her yavam to Bezdin. Veshtemudid achid amisnam abenehu. And we recognize that this person was her husband's paternal brother. Vermele, it's obviously yavam yavain. If you want to do yibin, you may. Filoi, if you want to do chalitza, itloch raglich diyamina, prepare your right foot for chalitza, vitlo raglich diyamina, and he prepared his foot, he extended his foot, v'shar sanoi sinei maraglo, she took off the shoe from his foot, v'yokis banpoi roika, the mischazle beidina al ara, she spit before him spit that was visible to the court on the floor. Taisu takes out the words on the floor, the spit doesn't have to be seen on the floor. Rachir ba avi mishmei, and we read out what it says. So here too we see that the choice is completely the Yavim's. Ishtamuda, it says, we recognized him as being the paternal brother. Pligabar of Acharavina. Charam of Edom. He has to bring Edom that he's a paternal brother. Charam of Phil Karav of Phil Isha, a relative or a wife, a woman, are all accepted to say that this man is a paternal brother, and that is the halacha. Gilu milsa ba'amahu, it's just saying a fact. It's not an edus, and therefore fila karva fila isha are qualified. But Rabbi Kivega says an aid mipi aid will not be qualified. Says the Gemara. Rishon, as quotes the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Bechorus. Rishon is shemeskaven l'shem mitzvah. Mitzvah Yibam Kaidin L'mitzvah Chalitza. At the beginning, when they had pure intent, Yibam took precedence over Chalitza. However, Achshush Emes Kavnin L'Shem Mitzvah, now where the people don't have the proper intent, Mitzvah Chalitza, Kedemus L'mitzvah Yibam. Amr Rav Yitzchak, Chazru Leimer, then the Chazal taught us, Mitzvah Yibam Kedemus L'mitzvah Chalitza, that Yibam is preferable to Chalitza. Amr Leir Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Achshadari, that the people become better. The first we say the people did not have the right intent, and now we're going to say that the later generations have the right intent. Isn't one of the basis of the Jewish theology is that the later generations are weaker than the earlier generations? And as the Mefarshim explained, because there were more avaris done, and the avaris contaminate the world, says Rabbi Yochum from the Mashgiach of the Meir, and therefore the later generations are weaker. So how can we say that the earlier generations did not have the proper intent, and the later generations did have the proper intent? Answer the Gemara Mikara Sarva like Abishol. Originally they held like Abishol, that says that unless Yibim is done with the proper intent, it should not be done, as the Gemara will explain in a moment. Upsoif Sarva like Rabbanan, and then they held like Rabbanan. The Tanya, Abisholoim Akonis Yivimta L'Shem Noi. If somebody takes his wife, a Yivama, just for her beauty, L'Shem Ishis, Tosfos explains, so he should have the status of a married man. L'Shem Dava Echer, or for another purpose, Kilu Poyge Be'erva, it's, I look at it as if he's having relations with Erva, with Eishis Ach, V'Karv Einai Be'einai L'Yosef Vlad Mamzer. If one has relations with his Eishis Ach, the child is a Mamzer. As long as if he has relations with her, no matter what the intent is, he's mekayim a mitzvah, and that's why according to Chachamim, mitzvah yibum is preferable.